I'm Marianne Kolbasuk-McGee, executive editor at Information Security Media Group. I'm here at HIMSS 26 today, speaking with Aaron Weissman, who is CISO of Mainline Health, and Mick Cody, who is the field CTO at cybersecurity firm Alicity. So, Aaron and Mick, you're here at HIMSS, and you are discussing how micro-segmentation and how Mainline Health was able to pressure test 60,000 devices, including critical medical IoT systems, against potential cyber attacks. Now, for starters, Aaron, for those who aren't familiar with Mainline Health, briefly describe the type of healthcare organization Mainline is, and what those 60,000 devices consist of.
Yeah, so we're a mid-sized health system in the Philadelphia suburbs. 5 hospitals, 8 large ambulatory sites, and then about 160 clinical practices, give or take. When we think about those devices, you know, those could be computers and laptops that we have for, you know, back office work, patient care, what have you, servers, printers, medical IoT devices, right, which could include anything from, you know, a smart pump at a patient bedside to an MRI, right, sitting in one of our imaging labs, you know, and everything in between. And so, you know, obviously all of those devices are very critical to patient care operations, and we want to make sure that we're securing those to the greatest degree possible that makes sense for our organization.
Please describe what's meant by pressure testing the devices. What was involved with that? You know, what are the challenges involved with this?
Yeah, so we wanted to make sure, one, that we had micro-segmentation implemented correctly, and we wanted to make sure that we were protecting those devices using our network tooling. Two, we wanted to make sure that in the event of a digital darkness attack, we knew exactly what we had to do as a health system in order to persevere. Right? And so when we deployed Alicity, you know, it was sort of this twofold exercise where we went through methodically and looked at our devices, looked at our patient care workflows, made sure that we were still supporting those workflows with those devices while making sure that devices that shouldn't talk to each other don't, on the one hand. And then on the other hand, you know, that we were testing our analog processes. Could our nurses chart on paper? Do they know how to do that? Do they know where the binders are, etc.? Are our devices reconnecting back to the network after an outage in an appropriate way? So, you know, really making sure overall that, one, we're securing the network, and two, we know what to do in the event there's a network incident.
So, Mick, when you work with other healthcare organizations, what are some of the challenges involved with micro-segmentation of devices, including medical devices?
Yeah, I think some of it, and Aaron addressed some of this as well, and we discussed it in the session. So there's a combination of different things. So, like, I'll go back to it from a people, process, and technology perspective. The technological part is getting the collaboration of the right people in the room, right? So network and cyber, clinical people have to be there to kind of give the biggest look at the holistic hospital as you look at not just cyber risk, but overall operational risk. So that challenge in itself sometimes can be its own thing because of the personas that are involved. But I think ultimately, too, that it's not overlooked, particularly by, you know, Aaron and his team, is the legacy of the devices themselves, right? So imaging machines can be upwards of 10, 15, 20 years old. You can't touch them. You can't put an agent on them. So you've got to find a way to, you know, manage them critically, leave them up as much as they possibly can for the sake of clinical care, but also then kind of protect them, right? And find a way that you can stop lateral movement in the network, even if it's an unpatchable device. What does that look like, and how do we manage that going forward? So all of that, you know, from a legacy to more modern systems is kind of the swath of land that Alicity tries to kind of help the clients address.
So how granular did you guys get with your micro-segmentation? You know, when you talk about legacy systems, you know, as Mick said, you could have legacy imaging systems, but then you could have legacy other types of systems and devices. You know, do you categorize them based on their function? You know, medical devices that do imaging versus, you know, infusion pumps, or, you know, how does that work?
Yeah, so we have a number of different visibility tools that are providing device identity metrics. And we look at the device identity and say, okay, you know, is this computer actually a computer, or is it the head unit for an MRI, right? And what should it be talking to? What does that look like? And so when we talk about granularity, you know, when we infusion pumps, for example, we might lump into infusion pumps. But when we talk about printers, we might talk about multifunction device printers. We might talk about patient armband printers, prescription printers, etc., right? And so we want to make sure as we go through that, that where we're applying higher degrees of granularity, that it makes sense, and that we're actually securing the environment using that. And that's an ongoing process.
So how many different micro segmentation, you know, units for these 60,000 devices?
Yeah, last count I heard, we have about 24,000 policies, which means there are 24,000 different rules applying to all of our devices, telling those devices what they can and cannot communicate with on the network.
And what was the challenge like in order to sort of identify, like, where these devices are, where they should be, you know, and those sorts of things?
Yeah, it's been years and years building up the visibility that allows us to do something like this, and it's really been a journey. But it's a very worthwhile exercise. And so, you know, understanding what a device is, where it is, what function it's serving. Towards the end of the project, you know, part of our pressure testing was physically seeing the devices, seeing how they supported the workflows, and then working through that with network blocking or not if, you know, it's not appropriate.
So is this sort of a permanent sort of structure now in, you know, in terms of, you know, how everything's kind of micro-segmented, or was it just for like a test to see how it would work and hold up against a simulated attack?
No, so the micro-segmentation's here to stay. We are going to be micro-segmented forever, or at least for the foreseeable future, right? You know, who knows? But, you know, what that micro-segmentation looks like and what our policies look like are fluid, and we're constantly evaluating, are we going to be able to improve our security somehow, or have we done something that is causing friction in patient care that we need to wind back, excuse me.
And Mick, when it comes to the micro-segmentation, what do you see in terms of like emerging trends or technologies that might help make this easier for healthcare?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we do our own part from the platform that we support, and we support for other healthcare organizations. I think the auspices of having greater degrees, which we do, and I know Aaron avails of these as well, is all of the integrations that we link in from our tech alliance partners as well. So endpoint players, the networking players, you know, of all sorts, and it's the constant evolving, particularly in healthcare, because we have legacy kind of situations where some of the switches that you mentioned obviously are also legacy, right? They haven't been turned off or on in over 7 years. So that inventory is always improving for all of the landscapes that basically we run across in healthcare, which is very diverse. So I think for us, it's constantly building out those new integrations that all of these guys expect us to have out of the box. And that's basically improving our time to value and how we get things completed quickly for them. We have other hospitals just like Aaron. Aaron got underway with the journey, and he got it completed much, much more quickly than he would have if he'd been tackling it kind of the old ways, like we addressed it back in the... It was taking 7-8 years, and people are banging their heads up against the wall, and they can't figure this out. A lot of hospital systems with us today are getting this done inside of a year. And we have actually one interesting use case just north of Aaron with another client. Basically, it was done in 44 days with 16 hospitals. Is it pretty impressive?
And does that help with vulnerability management as well?
It does, you know, because a lot of these biomed devices are inherently vulnerable just because of the patch cycle. And so, you know, instead of saying, hey, we're going to have these very vulnerable devices on our network and we're not going to be able to control the environment around them, we can now say, okay, the devices are on our network, maybe one or two of them are compromised, but because we're controlling the environment around them, that blast radius is significantly minimized.
And Mick, when you said that you know, another healthcare entity that you recently worked with, they had multiple hospitals, what is that like? You know, with all these multiple layers of, you know, micro segmentation, is there, you know, the same thing happens in each hospital, or do you group everybody's medical devices together? Or, you know, how does that all work out?
Well, in fact, I'll give a version of an answer, but I think I'll defer to Aaron, because we also address this when work through, and you can see this later on in the presentation. But stage 3-2-1 on how we do implementation phasing is basically trying to touch the least critical first, and then work your way to the core of the tier one hospital or the trauma-centered functions of where critical care is 24/7. But I think that's the way we've consistently approached it. I think Aaron has been out ahead and leading in the pack, but I'll let him defer to what he did in his implementation, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, no, I mean, you hit the nail on the head, right? We started with our, you know, sort of doctor's practices, you know, family medicine, outpatient services, et cetera, and then moved to some of our more critical care services like physical and mental rehab, drug rehab, et cetera. And then moved into our acute care facilities, right? And we're a very conservative organization, and so those acute care facilities took a long while to sort of identify how we were going to structure those policies and what we were going to implement. We certainly could have fast-tracked that, right? You know, with very little degree of error. But, you know, obviously, given sort of clinical operations needs and wants, we want to make sure that we're accommodating them appropriately.
I think that's key, right? It's also patient disruption is completely minimized by the way we do things, right? And that is basically the clear and, you know, objective focus of whatever we do whenever we're supporting a healthcare organization, is to minimize the complete, you know, elements of disruption, which I think we did very successfully with Mainline and others that we do today.
Yeah, that was a question I was going to ask also, is, you know, because you hear about medical devices, you know, when it comes to vulnerability management, it's hard because you can't take them offline necessarily if they're, like, you know, critical care or whatever. But when it comes to the actual, like, segmentation process, do you have to take systems offline, devices offline, or is it just sort of behind the scenes? No one really notices it.
Yeah, it's silent. It's behind the scenes. Nobody notices it. You know, ideally, when we segment things, people shouldn't even notice it then, right? And so that's why we took painstaking care to make sure that the devices that were communicating with each other should, and the devices that shouldn't aren't. But yeah, it was not patient-facing at all.
I would say one of the advantages of the platform itself is allowing it to run in a simulation mode, which helps the clients themselves discern on how to make, well, yep, it's time to deny, but that doesn't belong. Like an IP camera should not be talking to an infusion pump, right? And or a set of technologies shouldn't be on this wireless LAN controller at all. It's interfering with overall performance on the network, right? So you can start isolating what you need to do, but it is completely, you know, they can't see what's going on. You get the tested, simulated, and then eventually, you know, enact the policy.
And finally, Aaron, any top lesson that emerged from this that you think might be helpful to other healthcare entities that might be struggling or considering micro-segmentation, you know, to this extent with their devices?
Yeah, just do it, right? You know, I mean, you sort of have to dive in and make the commitment that you're going to, if you want to drive this kind of security, that you're going to do it, because it is a little bit of a journey. And, you know, it is a commitment for understanding how clinical operations works and then making clinical operations understand how technology works, right? And having sort of that canonical baseline understanding of here's end-to-end what our patient care workflows look like, both from an operational and a technology standpoint.
Well, thank you so much. I've been speaking to Mick Cody and Aaron Weissman. I'm Mary Ann Kolbasek-McGee of Information Security Media Group. Thanks for joining us.